This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Lift up our hands, church, to heaven and appreciate our King, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our soul, Marco Sakaraba. We can never thank Him enough for His great mercies. Of His own will, He begat us by the word of truth. From the foundations of this earth, He has loved us. He has known us by name and called us by name. Had it not been for His loving kindness and His tender mercies, we all would have been consumed, would have been like a proverb and a byword in the land. Oh, but His love has given dignity to our lives. His love has given value to our lives. This morning we lift up holy hands before You. We come boldly to the throne of grace, the throne of love gifts, that throne where Your precious blood has been shed, that throne where Your life has been given for our lives, that throne where that great exchange was made for us. And we lay hold upon mercy. We take hold of grace to help in the time of need. We thank You for the stretching forth of Your mighty hand upon this great service. The second day of revival is here again, International Conference. This conference of wonders, we thank You and we honor You and we praise You. We ask again that You stretch forth Your mighty hand in the next few moments. We ask that You grant us eyes to see and ears that hear and a wise understanding heart. That as Your word is taught, You cause Your people to move forward in leaps and bounds, going upwards and forwards. That the light of Your word will dispel all darkness and testimonies will be multiplied. We ask as always that You surpass the greatest desires of Your people. That is the kind of God that You are, the God that does exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. We thank You and thank You and thank You. While we give You the vow to give You the glory and honor and praise for all that will be accomplished, we'll be content to receive the blessing. For it is in Jesus' precious name that we pray. And all that grew that prayer shout hallelujah. All that grew that prayer shout amen. Well, put those hands together and give the Lord a mighty shout of praise. Somebody, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Please be seated in God's holy presence. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. This morning, it is my special joy, honor, privilege to be a part of this great, great sixth year anniversary of this great house. Rogic, hallelujah. Revival, House of Glory International Church. My home, hallelujah. This is my family. Praise the name of the Lord. And those of you who aren't clapping, I understand. Maybe you had too much to eat this morning, but it's all right. But it's my home and I'm rejoicing over it. Hallelujah. I want to honor and celebrate God's great servant this morning, Apostle Goodheart Ekweme, and his precious, precious wife, First Lady of this great house, Pastor Abimbola Ekweme. I know that we've been standing and sitting and standing and sitting, but this morning we need to give honor to whom honor is due. If somebody had not stepped out to obey God, we would not be here gathered today. Shall we celebrate the Lord and celebrate the gifts that the Lord has given us in our dear pastors? Hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together and appreciate the Lord. Thank you. Glory to God. Kindly be seated in God's holy presence. I feel that I need to say these words publicly. I do appreciate from the depth of my heart. I always say this, that if I was going to count the people in my core inner circle, I'm not sure that they'll be up to, they might just be up to, maybe not up to the number of digits I have on one of my hands. And I'm honored to say, I'm grateful to God that Apostle Goodheart Ekweme is one of the foremost in that inner circle. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says if you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. If you walk with foolish men, you'll be destroyed. I celebrate the covenant we have shared for well over 30 years. And I want to honestly publicly say here that Apostle Goodheart has been one of the greatest reasons and encouragements for me in ministry. And I say that from the depth of my heart. And even though we are friends and even though we are brothers, but it's important for us to understand certain things. God has, in the realm of the spirit, rankings, God has graces, God has places, God has positionings. And God has given your pastor, Apostle Goodheart, a very foremost ranking in our nation and in the nations of the world. That is the truth. He may carry himself with so much simplicity, and so much honor, and so much decorum, but the grace of God that has been upon him for many, many years speaks. He's been the reason and the encouragement and the push. He may not realize that, but for me, moving into many firsts in my life. God puts us in different places to do his will and to accomplish his will. And we have to stay where God has planted us. But also God raises people who graciously carry astounding anointings and amounts of God's grace with so much comportment, so much decorum, so much simplicity. And they pull some of us into their space and unconsciously push us into certain things. Praise the name of the Lord. I remember that he gave me my first iPad. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, I just felt like saying that this morning. He gave me my first iPad, which we used for many, many years and enjoyed. Hallelujah. But just being around him and observing the grace of God has been a great, great blessing. And I want to thank you, man of God, for your simplicity. I say this from the depth of my heart, for how you honor the Lord and how you handle friendship. And it's been a great blessing to many of us. I'm sure I'm speaking for many, many people. And this morning, I want to celebrate you. Just like I was sharing with Apostle, I think yesterday when we were visiting, I said that Roderick is 6 years. But make no mistake, this ministry is not 6 years. This ministry is as old as the dealings of God upon the set man. So this ministry is many, many, many decades. And many of us that are joining Roderick right now, joining a ministry like this right now, have the privilege of enjoying a quantum leap. We can just enter into decades of ministry just by positioning yourself with simplicity of heart. You can come here and enter into 30 something years of ministry experience. That's how God does it. God raises people and then allows you to stand on their shoulders to move forward in life. So nobody that's connected to this house has an excuse not to at the very least replicate what is happening in this house all over the world, in whatever area of life that God has placed you. So I celebrate the grace of God here in this house. And I celebrate being here today. And I appreciate the Lord for the honor and the trust. And I don't take it for granted at all in Jesus' precious name. I also want to appreciate my precious wife. Hallelujah. This year will be 20 years in marriage. We're still learning work. I was still moving, and I really want to appreciate her as well this morning. And as we saw earlier on, my four precious daughters, like I always say, it's pink in my house. So these days we're learning to walk on eggshells, you know, and coming, daddy's coming, I'm coming. Is the coast clear? So I always tell people I have four precious beloved daughters and I have four attack dogs, untrained Rottweilers, and four automatic discharge double barrel guns, just so that you would know. Hallelujah. Anyway, but don't be afraid. If God has spoken to you, don't be afraid. Glory to God forevermore. I believe that Pastor Bimbo was out when I appreciated her. Thank you so much, precious sister. We go way back to Lagos days when Apostle and his precious wife were living in Surulere, and I'll come visiting then. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'll be helping doing the dishes. I'll be gisting with Pastor Bimbo. So we go way back. So some of all you newcomers here, you can't bamboozle us. Praise the name of the Lord. Anyway, I'm just to get you to smile. Praise the name of the Lord. As our custom is in this house, could we rise for the reading of God's word? My thought this morning has given to me is open doors by the word. In this year of greater open doors, we'll be commenting briefly on open doors by the word. Now I want to read John chapter 10 verse 9. I also want to read Revelation chapter 3 verse 8. Hallelujah. If you would not mind, we may want to read that in concert. It doesn't matter what translation you have. John chapter 10 verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Revelation chapter 3 verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Glory to God. For thou hast a little strength. The little strength you have is enough when you put it in God's hands, and has kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Father, let your blessing, as has been prayed, rest upon your word today. Let your hand be stretched out, that signs and wonders, miracles be wrought in the name of thy holy child Jesus, that your people may be eternally blessed and your name glorified forever in Jesus' precious name. Thank you very much. Kindly be seated. Also want to appreciate a dear, dear armor bearer, beloved man of God, an associate pastor. He's leading the team that came with me, Pastor Eyitayo Obanewo. Let's put our hands together and appreciate this great man of God. Hallelujah. Everybody needs a Pastor Tayo in their life. Everybody needs at least one Pastor Tayo in their life. One man that is like a thousand men. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like I said this morning, our theme or the thought for today is open doors by the word. And this year is our year of greater open doors. Hallelujah. Now, when you say greater open doors, there is a supposition, an assumption there that there were open doors before. You've enjoyed some kind of open doors before, but there are greater open doors. Hallelujah. There's nobody under the sound of my voice this morning that has not enjoyed some kind of an open door from the Lord. Just like our dear pastor, Pastor Danielson, was mentioning as he was leading us in that awesome time of prayer. God has done many, many things for us. Praise the name of the Lord. Nobody here is here without the faith of God granting you your next breath. How many of you can pay for your next breath? I know there are things ahead of you. I know you're trusting God for so many things. And it's God's will to fulfill your desires that are in line with His word, plan, and purpose. And in the season that He wants them fulfilled. But I tell you the truth, one of the greatest ways to see the next thing fulfilled is never to trivialize what God is doing right now. And so this is not just a preacher's rhetoric. This is not some kind of motivational speaking. But if you can breathe in and breathe out without a challenge, I tell you the truth, you are indebted to God. The Bible said that everything that has breath praise the Lord. I discovered that when you begin to understand and you begin to refuse to trivialize the things that God is doing, like we said, thanksgiving is application for more. So you have received some measure of open doors, but I believe with the whole of my heart that according to the word of the Lord has given His servants in this season, you are about to experience a dimension of open doors that you have never experienced before. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're sensitive to the spirit, you know that time in God's prophetic agenda is running out on the church age. And God is speeding up many things in these last days. Hallelujah. Many of you are not going to have the opportunity to build everything from the scratch. Some will. But many of you are going to walk into seasons of your life where there's going to be already prepared infrastructure for you. I said already prepared infrastructure for you. I said already prepared infrastructure for you. Now I'm not saying this lightly, but I believe that the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know, but you know there are steps and there are steps. You can't run without taking steps. When you're running, it's actually an acceleration of steps. And I believe that after these four wonder Sundays, according to the word of the Lord given to God's set man, some of you are just going to take a small step, seemingly small step, but you're going to step into a portal. Some of you are going to take a step, it's going to be like 10 steps. Others are going to take a step, it's going to be like 100 steps. Others are going to take a step, it's going to be like 1,000 steps. You will take a step by the proddings and the nudging of the Holy Ghost. But that step you'll be taking under the unction of God's Spirit. And so I believe that my assignment, my little contribution to this great season of Wonder Sundays, as we talk about open doors by the word, is to establish just one or two things for us this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. First of all, our dearly beloved and most precious Lord Jesus Christ is called the door. If you look at our text in John chapter 10 verse 9, He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. Very, very, very pregnant text that has been given. Jesus, our Lord Jesus said, I am the door. And He said that if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, Jesus is also called the Good Shepherd. So, Jesus is the door and Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He's called the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10 verses 11 and 14. He's also called the Great Shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. The Apostle Peter calls Him that Great Shepherd of the sheep. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20, He's called the Chief Shepherd. So the Lord Jesus Christ, our beloved Lord and Master and Savior, is called the door. He's also called the Good Shepherd. He's also called the Great Shepherd. He's also called the Chief Shepherd. Hallelujah. So when we consider the subject of the door, I want you to see the door first and foremost, not just as a breakthrough. I want you to see the door as a person. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you know Jesus, the truth of the matter is that you have entered into open door territory. Knowing him, making him Lord and Savior of your life, you have stepped into that place. He is the door, and inside of him are many doors. He's the distributor of doors. Hallelujah. But look at this. One of the primary responsibilities of a shepherd, and I'm calling the Lord Jesus the door, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. One of the greatest responsibilities of a shepherd is to find pasture for the sheep. Now, if you may not have had the privilege of being around pastoralists or anything like that, but if you understand the life of a shepherd's responsibility as he roves around is to find a pasture for the sheep. It is never the sheep's responsibility to find their pasture. Hallelujah. That is why it's never the responsibility of parishioners to tell the pastor what to do. It's the sheep, it's the shepherd, the sheepfold, or I beg your pardon, the pasture for the sheep. So one of the greatest responsibilities of a shepherd is to find pasture for the sheep. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, like we all know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So the sheep don't determine or choose their pasture. It's the shepherd's responsibility to find and lead them to their pasture. And the good gospel news for you this morning is that it's not your responsibility to find your pasture. It's your shepherd's responsibility. And I'm starting now with the great chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are pastures that are reserved for you. I believe that one of the great challenges in the exercise of faith for believers is that many times we learn about the principles of the word of God. We learn about those principles of faith, but we don't understand. But we need to forget something. There's something that disconnects us from the power of faith, knowing that you can't operate the principles of faith successfully without understanding and having a relationship with the author of faith itself. You can't take any scripture you want and try and make it work for you without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the chief shepherd. He's the one that authored it. So you can't just take the scripture and make the scriptures do like a formula, anything that you want. No, the scriptures function within the authority of the one who gave the scriptures. So as we consider the open door, I want to bring this to our attention this morning, that there are pastures reserved for you. Hallelujah. I said there are pastures reserved for you. Now, I'm under covenant by some things that I don't have time to explain right now, but I'm under covenant and also under the authority of this house today, I believe by the permission of God's great servant today, and the entrustment is given to me this morning, as I build upon this theme with this great house, that at least two things I'm under covenant with the Lord for, as I'm in this present season of ministry for my life. And one of those things is that as I share the word of God in simplicity, hallelujah, God will bring and move people into the next phase of their inheritance. So many of you this morning are going to walk into the next phase of your inheritance. It may not be dramatic. You may not see Jesus. You may not have a dream. You may not have anything. But because of the ministry of God's word, you're going to move into the next season of your inheritance. Expect a noise in your life. I'm not talking about your house shaking, but expect a noise in your life. I want to tell you that some of you are going to be disconnected from some things. And some of you are going to be connected to some things. Some of you have left some places. You'll be reconnected to those things. Because one of the assignments tonight by the anointing of God's spirit is allocation and reallocation. Is connection and disconnection. Some of you have exhausted the pastures you are in. You are eating and the pastures were green because your shepherd led you there, but some of you led yourself to pastures you are not supposed to be in, and now the grass is toxic and poisonous. Some of you have others who have led yourself and you've entered into burnt out fields. But the good thing about it is that once you listen to the voice of the shepherd, he is never condemning. He has already paid the price for our iniquities and our mistakes and our sins. When we repent and say, Lord, help me, he begins to move us back, and you find you go back to your pastures that your chief shepherd has prepared for you. So many of you are going to rediscover your pastures. If you're in the wrong place, you're going to get into the right place by the anointing of God's spirit. If you're in the right place, you're going to advance in the right place by the anointing of God's spirit. So these pastures, like I said, the sheep don't determine or choose their pasture. It's the shepherd's responsibility to find and lead them to their pastures. Now the pasture in the text is salvation.
And salvation is, like we know, a compound word, is the Greek word sozo. Sozo is a complete word. It doesn't just talk about salvation from the fires of hell and eternity, cut off from the Lord. Salvation talks about everything that is required and necessary in this life for you to live life as God would have it. There's an aspect of salvation that has to do with healing your body. There's an aspect of salvation that has to do with redeeming your life from destruction. There's an aspect of salvation that has to do with the wisdom you need to have a good family life or to make the right choices in life. Salvation covers every aspect of the believer's life here on earth. It's a Greek word, sozo. And that is the pasture that our Lord Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, leads us into. Like I said, Jesus is that door, he's that entrance, he's that passage into salvation. He makes available this salvation to all mankind. So when you walk into him, you have actually walked into a field. Many times, with all respect, I want to describe our salvation like going to a huge super mall, a mighty mall. And you have all kinds of branches in that mall. You have sections of the mall that deal with electronics. You have sections of the mall that deal with automobiles. You have sections of the mall that deal with household utensils and other things like that, beverages, whatever it is. So when you go into the mall and you hopefully have a shopping list and you want to know exactly where you want to go and get the stuff in the mall. So if you're looking for a beverage, you will not go to the side where they sell TVs. So Jesus, like that super mall, hallelujah. He said, I'm the door. You come into salvation. But as you come into salvation, the text said, you must learn how to go in and go out. It is as you go in and go out, you will find pasture. So there must be a going in on a daily basis and a coming out. That means there's an exploration. There is an interface with the chief shepherd. Hallelujah. You step into the door and it's a wide field. Hallelujah. But not every part of the mall is something that you want to be interested in right now. So you need the direction of the chief shepherd. Hallelujah. Not every open door is your door. Are you here this morning? Not every blessing is your blessing. I'm not even talking about sinful things that are obviously off the radar, off the platter. But I'm talking about things that are legitimate and good. Not every place is your place. Not every door is your door. Not every blessing is your blessing. Are you here, somebody? But there is a place that fits for you. Glory to the name of the Lord. And I'm trusting the Lord that something's coming upon you this morning that will begin to maneuver you into the place that fits for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if, in case you're in that place already, you will make a greater advancement in it in Jesus' precious name. So this pasture is salvation. And let's call these pastures now open doors. So I'm going to be referring to these open doors as pastures as we go ahead. Let's refer to them for the purpose of our discussion as these open doors. Let's call them pastures. Places that are prepared for you. I like to call them already prepared places. They are pastures prepared for you. In 2023, there are pastures prepared for you. And you're going to find them early in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me warn you in advance. It's a good warning though. Some of you are going to touch some things you have never touched before. Some of you are going to go some places you've never gone before. Some of you are going to handle some things you've never handled before. Because there's going to be a push by the anointing of God's Spirit. There's going to be a relocation, a reallocation by the anointing of God's Spirit. Some things were good for yesterday, they're not good for now. Some fields are burnt up already. Some fields are, the grass has already been eaten. And the chief shepherd has moved, but you're still there. Enjoying yesterday's glory. Oh, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a kindling coming upon you this morning. There's a push coming upon you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pastures we're looking at, we're considering these open doors, they are not self-appointed pastures. And the chief shepherd has a pasture for every one of his sheep. Already prepared paths. Those pastures are already prepared paths. Psalm 47 verse 4 said he chooses the inheritance for the righteous. Psalm 16 verses 5 and 6 says, the lines have fallen upon me in pleasant places. The Lord is my portion and my cup. The lines have fallen upon me in pleasant places. I have a good heritage. Praise the name of the Lord. So these pastures, they are not, or they should not be, of our own making or appointment. The open doors we're referring to here have to do with the appointment, the determination and the choosing of our great good shepherd. Remember this, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. I'm trusting the Lord that he will stir up our hearts again, that more than ever before, we will trust him with his plan for our lives. I said more than ever before, we'll trust him with his plan for our lives. See, these places in which we're going, where they're already prearranged structures, are not things you can calculate. There are no things you can strategize. You can have the best brainstorming sessions with the most elite and intellectual minds and the most experienced minds, but there are some places you can never get to except you are led by God's Spirit. And one of the keys to the leading of God's Spirit is to trust Him with your life. Hallelujah. Sometimes prayer does not work because people have already settled what they want. And God is not a bully. He's not a bully. If you make up your mind that you want it, He will take His hands off of it. You see, but if you trust Him and say, Lord, I trust You. You have my best interest at heart. You have my greatest good at heart. You have my highest advantage at heart. And you trust Him, then He will become the sponsor of your desires. That's when life starts getting sweet. That's how where you start going into the places where you have sweatless triumph. Not that you don't have challenges, but the Lord of hosts has gone ahead of you. So in this place, I submit to you that you must learn to receive grace, to surrender your will to His will. Hallelujah. Because He has pastures for you that your mind can never calculate. And some places He has ordained for you, if you ask you for out of 10, to choose out of 10, you might go through the whole 10 list and not choose one. But He knows, praise the name of the Lord, the best fit for you. Are you here this morning? Glory to God forevermore. I'm going to show you this, that it just takes a small adjustment. Many times it's small, little hinges that swing open big doors. The saints of God have invested so much, and legitimately so, in praying, in fasting, in giving, and in serving. But many times the hindrance is just a little adjustment called surrender. Are you here this morning? So these open doors we're referring to have to do with the appointment, determination, choosing of our great chief shepherd. He knows where the pastures are lush and green. He knows what fits us best. In these last days, we can't afford to be self-led. Don't lead yourself to another country. Don't lead yourself to another city. And certainly, don't lead yourself to a church God has not planted you in. In these last days, we have to be led by God's Spirit. He knows where your inheritance is. There's no bandwagon effect in these last days. So this great good shepherd, he bears another designation. And he is called, like we know, the Word. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was life, and the life is the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. Jesus, our great good shepherd, is also called the Word. And it's interesting to me that that word is called the door. He's the passage into the pasture. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the passage into the pastures that our Heavenly Father has prepared for us. You look at Revelation chapter 3 verse 8. He said, behold, I set before you an open door. And He's instructed because this great shepherd is called the Word. And as He opens the door for us, the other doors into the pastures that He has for us will also come to us as we submit and begin to develop a real relationship with God's Word. Acts chapter 20 verse 32. Paul the apostle was exhorting the elders of Ephesus. He said, now, my beloved brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. I recommend you. It's like somebody handing over a trust to somebody. For example, maybe you have a family friends that you trust, and your child is schooling, maybe abroad or something. You want to hand them to a family that will at least be able to oversee them, just like you would. And you hand them, say, I'm handing my child over to you to help me oversee. I may come from time to time to visit, but I'm handing my child over to you because I trust you. That's what the Word does. After we get saved, Jesus hands us over to God's Word. And of course, God's Spirit. He hands us over to the Word. And the Bible said that the Word of God is able to build us up and develop within us the capacity to enter into the inheritance that God has for us. To enter the already prepared paths that God has for us. And this is the thing about the ministry of God's Word. God has different kinds of streams of the anointing and graces of God that are administered to His people. Different kinds of ministry gifts, different kinds of streams of the anointing. But one of the most subtle and one of the most tricky is the ministry of the Word. Because when the Word of God is coming forth, it may seem so simple, but it's doing amazing things in your life. It's shifting things. It's killing some things from the root. Like I know in my heart, I know like I know my name, that some people are leaving this service today, without disease in their body. Somebody has received a report and your heart is afraid of the report, and it looks like it's terminal. But I want to tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that bad report has turned in this service into a good report. that mass they saw will become a benign mass in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody is leaving this place. Something is dropping on you. Your financial fortunes are about to change. You know, it was said of Saul that after he left the presence of Samuel, Samuel said, you will do this and this, and you meet men and this will happen. You meet prophets and prophesy with them. This and this and this will happen. And under the unction of this house, I declare that many of you will leave this service and this week will rearrange itself to you. You will enter this week like you are a different person. Abuja will respond differently to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some men's hearts will turn towards you and some people's hearts will close towards you, because some of you are about to enter something, but that thing is a trap, and the Lord shuts that trap in the name of Jesus. Some open doors are not open doors, some open doors are traps. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. And some of you, it looks so wonderful and juicy, but I hear my heart, it's a trap. And the mercy of God is coming to you this morning to shut that door. But guess what? When one door shuts, seven open in front of you. So have no fear. Have no fear when it seems like something you've been working on for a long time all of a sudden just flops. It may be the mercy of God delivering you from a trap that will set you back 10 years. Are you here this morning? Glory to God. Please be seated. Glory to God. I said glory to God. But the ministry of God's word is supernatural. And believers need to learn this. That it does not have to be sensational to be God. So many believers are so spiritually dense that if people are not shaking or falling, I have no problem with shaking and falling. People do shake and fall when I have those kind of meetings. Well, I have no problem with that. But you can shake and fall and rise up and things have not changed. But you can never encounter the ministry of God's word and things do not change. And that's why God's critical resource is revelation knowledge. And he has kept revelation knowledge in the heart of the pastor. So your pastor may not be levitating. He may not just come and be preaching and just start walking out and be levitating here. So my God, there's anointing Rodrick. Or he may not pass by and everybody, half of the congregation has fallen down. Nothing wrong with that. Are you here, somebody? He may just be the most gentle Joe you could ever think about. Oh, but that man is anointed by God's spirit. Oh, he was anointed by God's spirit. Somebody else may be shouting and shouting and shouting. And he may just tell you, go, all is well. And you enter your greatest breakthrough. You see, it is what you value that you draw virtue out of it. I tell you the truth. Most people don't understand their pastors are not anointed because their value system is warped. It's warped. You see, they mistake the anointing for shouting. They mistake the anointing. Somebody can sing in the best octaves yet not be anointed. It will take you time to discover that. You have to walk with God for some years to discover that. That the place may be electric with all kinds of the latest technology. That does not mean the anointing is there. The anointing is present here with all our technology. It's present. But that does not mean the anointing is there. Are you here, somebody? So the ministry of God's word is very subtle. It's very subtle. When it's coming out, it may seem so ordinary. It may seem so ordinary, but the supernatural is taking place. It may not be spectacular, but the supernatural is taking place. People are being shifted. Mindsets are moving. Things are changing. Systems are changing around people's lives because this word of God is able to build you up, give you capacity, and then move you into your inheritance. Are you here this morning? So Jesus is the word. And the word of God is foundational in this matter of open doors. Psalm chapter 11 verse 3 says, what shall we do? If the foundation be removed, what shall the righteous do? Psalm 119 verse 105 said, thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. You see, that's the thing that God's word does. The first thing it will do is that it will give you a vision concerning the future. Then the second, that's the light unto your path. Your path is futuristic, down the road. It will show you the way to your inheritance. And then the second thing it will do, it will lead you in the step by step. It will connect the dots. It will show you where you're headed, and then it will connect the dots. So it's so important for you because God's word will enlighten you. It doesn't have to be sensational, but your heart needs to be open because God and his word, like we know, are one and the same. God's word contains the pictures of our inheritance. So three quick things I'm going to share about this. First and foremost, God's word bears the description of the open doors or pastures. Remember, these open doors I'm talking about, I'm calling them pastures today. The places that God has already prepared for you, and God has already prepared places for you. Are you here, somebody? Now look at this. God's word contains the pictures of our inheritance. You look at Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 to 3. When Joshua took over leadership of Israel from Moses, God gave him very distinct boundaries. From the going up of the sun towards this coast, towards that coast, it shall be your borders. So every believer has coordinates in the spirit. Every believer has a place and places where your inheritance are. There's no place for jealousy here. There's no place for shouting here. There's more than enough for everybody. Are you here, somebody? Every one of you here who's a child of God is an eagle, man. You're an eagle. You know, eagles, you go where eagles fly. There are no traffic jams there. But you look at the floor here. When they throw out rice or they throw out some grains of corn or something, and you find all the chickens there. So that's where you find backbiting. That's chicken language. That's chicken language. Backbiting, tearing down, gossiping, fighting. You see, but if you just rise up with God's word and be the eagle that God has called you to, you know that there's a blessing with your name on it. And it fits you. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't fit anybody. It fits you. We see, well, you understand some things about life and you just calm yourself down and develop a right relationship with God and his word. And he maneuvers you to the place that is yours. God's word contains the pictures of your inheritance. We call them scriptural pictures. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. We also with open face, with sincerity of heart, we are beholding, we are looking as through a glass, the glory of the Lord. He's talking about the mirror of God's word. He said we are changed into that same image from one level of glory to another, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, when believers don't understand where their resources for change are, they become very natural and carnal. Everybody has access to this level of change. But when you understand where your change is coming from, you begin to put the right value on it. You in your room, you in your prayer closet, you in your place of devotion can begin to change. You see, this metamorphosis takes place on the inside, and then outside begins to adapt to who you are on the inside. So there's no fighting anybody. You create the thing from inside as you open and expose yourself to the ministry of God's word. So, just like I said, not every open door is your door. Some open doors are traps. Not every blessing is your blessing. Not every so-called good thing fits you. Oh, but there's a blessing on your name with your name on it. Yes, there's a pasture with your name on it. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're finding it. God is moving you into it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if God has called you into Abuja, the Abuja has a place for you. Glory to God. But the good gospel news is that your location may be in Abuja, but it does not mean that the world is not open to you. Once you are in your location, your allocations from other places will come and find you. So God's word bears the description of our pastures. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 talks about that fact. Praise the name of the Lord. As I praise the name of the Lord. Next, God's word has the direction or roadmap into the pastures we seek. I mentioned it earlier. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, is a light unto my path. Oh, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that today you receive eyes that see. Oh, may your eyes see. May your ears hear. May your heart be enlarged. Oh, glory to God forevermore. In your prayer time, may you catch glimpses of what God has for you. Oh, may the spirit of seeing and knowing function in your life. May you catch glimpses of the things that God has for you. May you have glimpses of your financial portions and pastures, the place and places that God has for you. May God remove the scales from your eyes as you fellowship with him, as you stay in the place of prayer. We must understand that one of the primary purposes of prayer is fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship will help remove the scales. Then God will give you an awareness of your environment. Not just your natural environment, but your spiritual environment. The scales will fall off of your eyes. Are you here, somebody? Some of you, there's some relationships. I'm not necessarily talking about romance now, but some of you, there's some relationships that you have outgrown. Are you here, somebody? Some of you, there's some spaces you have outgrown, but fellowship begins to, when the Holy Ghost begins to remove the scales from your eyes, he begins to introduce a certain level of discomfort to you. And you begin to understand that you're overstayed in a place. Oh, hallelujah. You have over-interacted with a place. So this gives us direction. God's word gives us direction. Isaiah 42 verse 16 said, I'll bring the blind by way that they knew not. I'll lead them along paths that they have not known. I'll cause darkness to become light before them, and crooked things to become straight. These things will I do unto them, and I'll not forsake them. So you see, when God blesses a man, it's not that he brings a husband or a wife or a car or money or whatever it is. Those things are wonderful. But the first blessing you see is a blessing of enlightenment. You're not on the right path. Move to that path. It's a blessing of enlightenment. And then Psalm 18 verse 28 to 30, he said, the Lord will enlighten my darkness. I pray that the Lord enlightens any dark place in your life. I pray that the Lord removes the scales in the name of Jesus. And then he said, by that enlightenment that comes from his word, he said, by my God, the enlightenment of my God, he said, I run through a troop. He said, I leap over a wall. I scale over impossible heights. See, I sense the lifting power of God resting on somebody today. Because I'm talking to somebody today and your heart is burning. That lifting power is resting upon you. I say it's resting upon you. You're going to leave this place and you're going to discover an encounter with God's word will begin to cause a noise in your immediate environment. You know, sometimes there has to be a noise before there's peace. Some of you, God will shake some things up before he rests them down. Oh, glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing I promise you is that you're going to be happy with the end result. Because you're going to discover you're in a larger place. You're going to discover you're in a wider place. But some of us, sometimes we hug places so tight. Oh, this place is so wonderful. So many times, God is that father eagle that moves you out of your comfort zone. Ain't no growth in no comfort zone. So I pray that in the name of Jesus, in this apostolic house, in this great season of wonders, God will reroute you, if necessary, into your pasture. And I pray that the God of all grace and peace may give you peace by all means. If he has to shake you out, let him shake you out. But where you land, you'll be so happy. Say, oh my God, this has been the place of my desire. Some people, their greatest fears on the other side of it is their greatest desire. Are you here, somebody? I said, are you here, somebody? But look at this now. How does God's word give us direction? God's word comes to us sometimes as information, but the information must be translated to revelation. That's what we call a rhema. Now, you see, another great challenge that people of faith have is this. You know, when they read something from God's word and it has not yet become their word, they try to step out on it because somebody else did it. Listen, the only reason why Peter was the only one that stepped out of the boat in Matthew 14 when Jesus said to him, come, when he asked Jesus, bid me come if you be the one, and Jesus said, come. The only reason why Peter stepped out on the boat and out of the boat and walked on the water is not complicated. It's not rocket science. He was the only one who heard the word come. If the other disciples stepped out on the water, they would have sunk like concrete. So believers, testimonies are supposed to inspire you to step out and do what God asks you to do. Oh, hallelujah. You don't just see a testimony and just rush into it because you don't know the word that created that testimony. But you have your own word. Glory to the name of the Lord. You will hear your own come from the master and you will walk upon your own waters in the name of Jesus. In the place where you are now, as you stay with God's word, how does God's word turn from information to revelation? It's through a process I want to call active listening and meditation. You see, some people are in church right now. They're probably thinking about the meal they need to fix. That's not active listening. Proverbs 4 said, my son, pay attention to my word. Incline thy ears unto my sayings. Do not let them depart from thy heart. And thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them. And health to all their flesh. You see, God's word must be found. These pastures, you go in and out. That's the going in and out is you're interacting with these scriptures. You're going in and you're out and out. Then you find pastures. You see, they are life to those that find them. You've got to find God's word. How do you find it? Active listening. You see, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For example, let's say you invited a friend to church, and you're already in church, and you're calling to find out where they are, and they tell you, well, they're at so-so-so location, and they're on their way to church. And they say, on their way. They're on their way, and if they're telling you the truth, they're on their way. They have not yet arrived. Are you here, somebody? Now, the Bible says faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, I think without distorting the text, I think it's important for us to understand certain things. That hearing is not talking about the way you're listening to me right now. The hearing means that when the word of God is quickened in your spirit, when the word of God becomes concrete in your heart and it produces faith and you begin to see yourself with that thing, that may not come the first time you listen. So I like saying it this way, though, faith cometh by listening to God's word until you hear it. Some of us husbands, our wives will testify, and maybe it goes the other way around. I know in my case like that sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm tired and whatever, and you know, my wife just thinks that that is the time for her to give me a lowdown on what has happened in the day, and I'm struggling to stay away. Yeah. So you say, one time she'll look at me, You're not listening to me. You're sleeping. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you go? I was listening, but I was not hearing. But the day I heard, I connected. I said, is that so? So some people are listening, but they have not heard yet. How do I know you have heard? Well, let me put it this way. When you are out on a hot Abuja day and you need a cold drink and you take the cold drink, how do you know when your thirst is quenched? Can you explain to me how you know? When your thirst is quenched, won't you know? When you're listening to God's word and you're listening to God's word, something begins to rise up in your heart. Are you here, somebody? You're listening to God's word concerning healing. You're listening to God's word concerning any subject. Something begins to rise up in your heart. And all of a sudden, something begins to change in you. The things that used to make you cry no longer make you cry. Oh my God. Something has risen up inside of you. The giant has risen up. There may not be a change as yet, but something has risen up inside of you. My friend, keep listening until you hear. Keep listening. That's how we work the word. Keep listening with attention and you will hear something. When you will hear your own version of come, are you here, somebody? The Spirit of God will prompt you to do something, prompt you to engage, prompt you to leave something, prompt you to connect with something, prompt you to disconnect with something. But the thing is that people are just rising up and doing things without having taken time to hear from God. You listen until you hear. Are you here this morning? So how do you convert it from information to revelation? You meditate. Scriptural meditation is pondering over it. You give it attention. Are you here, somebody? You give it attention. You give it attention until it becomes a revelation, until it produces peace in your heart. Now, quickly, there's some few things you must understand. You wanna get clear direction from God. First of all, trust God's nature and character. Trust that He's good. Trust that He has your best interest at heart. Trust that He loves you more than you love yourself. Are you here, somebody? God has your best interest, greatest good, and highest advantage at heart. Then number two, put your heart in neutral. That's the hardest part sometimes. Psalm 37 verse 4 said, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, when I was much younger in the faith, and I'm still not too old now, I'm still growing, I'm still a boy of God. But when I was much younger in the faith than I am now, I used to think that means if you make God happy, He'll give you whatever you want. But as I was growing up, I discovered this. That word, delight yourself in the Lord, means put your heart in neutral. Make your heart pliable. Be the kind of believer that God can change your mind quickly. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But here He said, trust in the Lord. The desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. That means that when you first class Christianity starts, when you trust God's nature and character, He is good and He's love. He has your best interest at heart. And He'll do you no harm. And then when He starts coming to the higher matters of your life, say, God, what do you want done here? And then put your heart in neutral. Then He said, when you do that, you say, ha, this boy, this girl, you trust me? Me? I will show you that I'm a good God. And then He will start sponsoring your desires. That's when the good stuff happens. When God will start putting in your heart things to do, places, start inspiring visions in your heart. And can I tell you this? God's visions will be infinitely bigger than yours. The life God has for you is sweeter than the sweetest life you could ever think. I'm not saying that there are no challenges there, but you see, when God goes ahead of you, glory to the name of the Lord, no one can defeat you. You know, I heard a great man of God recently, Reverend Dr. Umar Akpai. You know, everybody, man of God, has their own ways of ministry. But he said something that really jolted me. I mean, the way he said it. He said, and said in broken English, he said, anybody when no get trouble na mumu. So what? He said, anybody when no get trouble na mumu. He said, in fact, first of all, he said, no, na useless man. They said, no, not useless. Na mumu. He said, don't you know that it is trouble that defines who you are? The trouble that comes against you is a sign of the testimony that you're entering into. Oh, glory to God. Hey, Satan does not invest in rubbish. Oh, some of you here have a great destiny. But the thing about it is that you need to take your eyes off of the trouble and put your eyes on the God that delivers from trouble. Glory to God. Because listen, the size of the contention is the size of the reward. Oh, when you're ready to just come into your Canaan like we know, God will introduce a Goliath. When David had been faithful in the backside of the desert, God said, my son, I'm ready to promote you. He organized for him to go to the battlefront. And in the battlefront, there were no people who are caterers serving pizza, man. There were no people serving fufu there. In the place of his reward was a giant. But David has spent enough time with God to understand that on the other side of the giant is the reward. So God said, I'm tired of this level. David, you're being faithful to me and everything. Oh yeah, it's time for you to enter your promised land. Let me introduce a giant. But let me tell you something, that I'm the giant killer. Glory to God. The same voice you heard in the wilderness is the voice that will bring down this giant. So have no fear. The giant is my responsibility. But you hearing from me and acting on my word is your responsibility. I see giant killers in this house this morning. So put your heart in neutral. Trust God to sponsor the desires of your heart. And then follow the peace and joy of the Lord in your heart. How do you know a direction is God? Number one, it doesn't go away. It sticks. Then number two, the more you pray about it with a sincere heart and the more you're moving in that direction, the more the peace of God multiplies. That's where your pastor is. Are you here, somebody? And as you take steps in that direction, you will see the power of God. I say you will see the power of God. Finally, not only is God's word that which bears the description of the open doors or pastures for you, God's word is the direction map into those pastures. Hallelujah. And then thirdly, God's word is the transportation into the pastures. God's word will describe to you your inheritance, the next open doors for you. Number two, God's word will give you direction. And number three, God's word will provide supernatural transportation. You see, there are two primary forces that God's word gives you. The first is called hope. Hope is a picture of the future that's sponsored by God's word. It's not any kind of picture. It's a picture of the future. That's what sponsored by God's word. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 said. We all, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Some things happened to me. In August 2020, I was faced with some of the greatest health challenge I've ever faced. The truth of the matter is that I didn't think I'd make it. It was that bad. It was like most one leg, not just one leg on earth and one leg on the other side. No, it's like most of the other leg was on the other side. And one of those days, I was just lying down flat on the bed. I mean, my lungs seemed to have collapsed. My organs were acting up. The doctor's report was bad. I just kept, you know, there's a time that the preacher has to meditate on the same word that he has been preaching. So preacher, preach yourself. So I was there crying. I didn't have enough strength to pray, but my heart was crying to God. You see, your heart can cry to God when your flesh is weak. Oh, keep reaching out to God. So I kept reaching out because I knew I needed a rhema. I had many healing scriptures, all kind of things in my mind, but I knew I needed a word from heaven. I said, oh God, quicken me according to your word. I was just reaching out to God from heaven. And then I heard this. I've given you 1,000 acres of land. So I said, you know, Lord, I really appreciate you. I'm so grateful to you for your generosity. I mean, this is wonderful. But I know you're the all-wise God, but forgive this ignorant son of yours. Right now, I do not need 1,000 acres of land. Dead men don't enjoy property. Then just like that, the Lord reminded me of some sermons he had helped me preach some years ago. Oh, I said, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. When the Lord shows you a destination in your future, he's telling you that your present crisis has been overcome. You see, many of you are battling with your present crisis. What you need is a word from heaven. And I started rejoicing. I said, oh God, now I know the devil can't kill me. I'll walk to the bathroom, I'll be panting. And the devil will say, I'll kill you today. I said, Satan, is too late. I've received a word from heaven. And that word from heaven becomes a battle axe. My brother, my sister, I pray that as we share communion today, and as these four wonder Sundays are concluded, that you live with a word from heaven. You live with a battle axe in your hand concerning your money, concerning your health, concerning the next place that God has taken you, is showing you. I'm here to tell you in the name of Jesus that the things that God has spoken to you of are for time. Now is the time for their manifestation. Some of you, this will be your year of 10 years in one. You do 1, 2, 3 things, and God will begin to do some things in your life that will collapse 10 years. This is the time that you will walk in the spirit like never before. All you need is an adjustment of the heart. Just trust God's plan. How far has it gotten you doing things your way? So I began to understand again that when God wants to defeat your present crisis, he'll show you a picture of your future. And I understood by the Spirit of God that if God is saying there's 1,000 hectares in my future, of 1,000 acres of land in my future, that means this present disease is over. Glory to the name of the Lord. And every time the devil come and say, I'll kill you, I say, too late, devil! Too late, devil! And I want to declare over you today by the authority of the apostle in this house that if you're in this service today, it's too late in the name of Jesus. You are not dying anytime soon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If one leg was in the grave, pull it out now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you're entering the sweetest seasons of your life. You're being pushed into the next dimension of your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you the truth, that battle, it did not come to destroy you. It has come to elevate you. And I hear my heart, there are no battles that last forever, because you have come under this apostolic unction, these four wonder Sundays. I declare that the word of the Lord is reshaping the seasons of your life, panel-beating the seasons of your life. The next thing you see, you're going to be on the other side. Glory to the name of the Lord. The next thing you see, the environment over your life has changed. The next thing you see, the sour and the bitter is turned to sweet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you there were two things the Lord told me that as I minister from this year, as I share his word in simplicity, people will enter the inheritance or advance in the inheritance. The second thing he told me, he said, I name your future. So by with the permission of the apostle in this house, I want to transfer that word to as many as will receive. The Lord said, I name your future. I name your future. No ceilings, no barriers, no barricades, no boundaries. And I want to, by the permission of the apostle in the house, I want to add my little contribution to your life and say, I name your future. Marco Sekeria. Some of you have been hitting a wall, coming back, hitting a wall and coming back. Go again. The next time you go, the wall is gone. And you're stepping into the pasture that God has for you. I name your future. No ceilings, no boundaries, no limits, no limitations in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare nothing can hold you down now. Everything is working for your good. Everything is falling in place now. The good, the bad, the ugly, the sweet and the sour, the things you understood, the things you didn't understand, all of them are working for you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare over you in the name of Jesus, the lights have fallen upon you in pleasant places. You have a good inheritance. After today, everything works for you. Everything works for you. Everything works for you, sir. Everything works for you. Everything works for you. Everything works for you, man. I said, by the anointing of God's Spirit, as I connect and build with the apostolic authority over this house, I declare that this wonder, you will see that wonder. I say you will see that wonder by the unction and authority of Almighty God on this house. I declare to you, as you leave this week, some of you, next Wonder Sunday, you will come up here and testify. Next Wonder Sunday, you come up here and testify. Some of you, this is your week. This is your hour. The opposition has been dispersed by the anointing of God's Spirit. Like wind blowing upon smoke and dispersing it to the ends of the earth, I see the winds of God blowing upon the things that have caused you pain and travail and sorrow. I see your labors bringing forth harvest in the name of Jesus. I see the things that have been hindering your harvest, the harvest is released to you now in the name of Jesus. Wherever there was a cap, wherever there was a ceiling, wherever there's a barricade, by the anointing of God's Spirit, I declare it's loose now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lines have fallen upon you in pleasant places. The lines are falling upon you in pleasant places. The lines are falling upon you in pleasant places. You have a goodly heritage. Many of you, you will go back this week. The story will be different. I said the story will be different. I said the story will be different. Like play, like play. Like joke, like joke. There are workings of miracles for you in the name of Jesus Christ. I said there are workings of miracles for you in the name of Jesus Christ. I said there are workings of miracles for you in the name of Jesus. Somebody put those hands together and give the Lord a shout of praise. I have 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Quickly, I want to do this, if I may. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, men enter in. And they go out and they're saved. And then they go in and out and find pasture. You see, you cannot go in and out and find your inheritance except you are first saved. So salvation is number one. And there's no guesswork in salvation. The Bible said, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord, I believe Acts 2:21, shall be saved. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 said, if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, and confess him with your mouth as Lord, you shall be saved. Now, folks, the first step into these great open doors is salvation. Because after you're saved, you can go in and out of the pastures of salvation and begin to find your inheritance. So, with every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone praying with me, with us. If you're here this morning and you cannot safely say, Pastor, I know that if I leave this earth this morning, for some reason I leave this earth right now, I cannot say for sure that I'm going to spend eternity with Christ in heaven. You need to be sure. You need to be sure. There's no guesswork here. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord Jesus said, anybody who comes to me, in no wise will my Father turn him away. And if you know in your heart, the worst kind of deception is self-deception. You know in your heart that you don't have a right relationship with God. You're not sure you're saved. Or maybe you have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior one time in your life, but you know you're living for the devil more than you're living for God. You know it. Sir, ma, there is grace for you to live a consecrated and a stable life. So if you're one of those categories, you need to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. You need to be saved, or you need to rededicate your life to Christ. I want to add one more. You've been desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking other tongues. And you've been desiring it, but somehow or the other you'll not be able to. I believe that this is your day. And as you come up here, I'm sure our counselors will help you. So if you're in that category, just pick up your bags, your Bibles, whatever you came to church with. Just make your way here right now. Just make your way here right now. There's no reason for shame. This is the best thing. All of us you're seeing here have done this thing before. I tell you, it's the most glorious thing you'll ever do. So if you're in that category, just pick up your bags and your Bibles. Just come down here and meet us up here in front. Just rush, rush, rush. Our time is fast spent. Glory to God. Just pick up your bags and your Bibles. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's put our hands together and appreciate the Lord for them in advance. You need to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. You need to give your life to Christ, or you need to rededicate your life to Christ. I'm waiting for you. Just come up here right now. Just come up here right now. Or you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking other tongues. Listen, folks. Listen, this is a glorious thing. Just pick up your Bibles. Don't be ashamed. Pick up your Bibles and just come straight to the front. Let's appreciate them as they come. We're waiting for you here in the name of Jesus. We're waiting for you here. I'm going to count down from 10. And I'm just going to meet you here because, we have other things to do in this service. You are very important, but we just have a little time for this. So if you know you're supposed to be here, pick up your bags, your Bible, whatever you came with, your technology. Just come and meet us here. 10, 9. Come on, come on, come on. Just come. If you see somebody trying to come out of the aisles there, just encourage them, just encourage them, just encourage them. 8. Glory to God. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. I know our ushers are helping us scout around. Come on. If you need to be here, just come. Just come, just come, just come. 7, glory to God. You want to be born again? You want to give your life to Christ? You want to rededicate your life to Christ? You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, evidence speaking in other tongues? Just come, just come, just come, just come. Yeah, yeah, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. Put your hands together, church. Let's encourage them. Everybody praying, everybody praying. Satan, take your hands off of those ones in the name of Jesus Christ. Take your hands off of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Just come. Come quickly. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation. This is the hour. Now that God is tugging your heart. Now that your heart is soft before God. Please come. Please come. 6. We don't have all the time in the world. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my brother. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're waiting for you. 5. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. Just run to the front. 4. Just run to the front. We're closing the altar right now. Just come to the front. Just come to the front. Just come. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Come on. Let's keep encouraging them. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Satan, take your hands off of them now in the name of Jesus. Just come. It's a good thing you're doing. There's no need for shame here. We're one big family. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just come. Just come from everywhere. Hallelujah. 2. You want to get born again? You want to know for sure that if you leave this earth today, your last breath on earth will be your first breath in heaven? 2. You want to rededicate your life to Christ? 3. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking other tongues? All right. Our time is up. 1. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Congratulations in the precious name of Jesus. Congratulations, congratulations. Can we just pray together? Now, I just want you to pray from the depth of your heart. Hallelujah. Just from the depth of your heart, you pray. Congregation, can you just kindly just pray with me? Say, dear Heavenly Father, you all here. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you today in Jesus' precious name. I believe in my heart that God sent Jesus to this earth to die for my sins. He went to hell for me. He was raised from dead on the 3rd day so that I might be saved. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, receive me. Save me. Wash me clean with your precious blood. Write my name in the book of life. From this day forward, I declare I am your very own child. You are my very own father. And I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Satan, I break your power over these ones in Jesus' name. We declare that this that they have done shall be permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, because they will enter the sweetest relationship with you they've ever known before. They'll begin to understand and walk in their destiny. Their lives are redeemed from destruction. And when all is said and done, on that great day of the Lord, before the throne of God, they will be present there with all of us. Father, thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Well, congratulations in Jesus' name. All right, could you just turn around? Just follow that gentleman over there. Can we put our hands together and appreciate them? Let's appreciate them. Let's appreciate them. Let's appreciate them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. By the privilege of the apostolic authority over this house, I have the honor to pray over our communion this morning. Hallelujah. We are about to partake of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, who has believed our report? Who has believed this message? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 5 of Isaiah 53 said that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Jesus. The punishment that was necessary, required, and needful for our welfare, our well-being, our preservation, our deliverance, and for these great open doors that he has ahead of us this year was laid on Jesus. The price has been paid. Father, as we partake of your broken body and your shed blood, let your hand be stretched out upon your people. We receive your sacrifice this morning. And we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your word said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, the Lord Jesus, you have been made unto us wisdom. You've been made unto us power. Whatever is required for these your precious people to walk in the next phase of their open doors, as we partake of your broken body and shed blood, let it be administered to them now in the precious name of Jesus. Receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and a wise understanding heart. Receive your mighty outstretched hand against sickness, disease, misfortune, pain, the siege and determined counsel of the devil. We declare it canceled in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you for testimonies. We honor you and we praise you. We honor you as we declare this communion blessed today. In Jesus' precious name.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.